Picture this. You're packing for a big trip and need a pair of shoes that will take you through the rain, across the cobblestones, and into the theater. Ask around and you're likely to reach this conclusion. Aim for comfort, versatility, durability, and flexibility. Reaching into your closet, you move past the wingtips and stilettos for that tried-and-true pair of shoes. Going a step further, what if the skills learned in high school were shoes? Are we giving students the skills they need for the uneven roads of life after high school? On this episode of Homeroom Huddle, we're tracking down answers to that question by exploring durable skills through the lens of career and technical education classes. Whether you're in the classroom, around the kitchen table, or on the move, Homeroom Huddle is your invitation to stay connected to what matters most in the Issaquah School District. Joining me today are Kevin Houghton, high school teacher covering engineering and material science.
Hi, everybody.
Kyle Hoikert, a high school student here at Issaquah High School, where we're recording today.
Hello.
Claire Luce, propulsion engineer at Blue Origin.
Hello, nice to be here.
And Lisa Neighbors, Director of Career and Technical Education and Secondary Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, to make sure you have an exceptionally long name and title.
That is the goal indeed.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk today. You know, durable skills, that is something that might be unfamiliar to people. So I'd like to talk about some basics. Lisa, what exactly are durable skills?
Durable skills are really those skills that people will use their whole lives. So it's things like leadership and teamwork and collaboration, problem solving. It's really just those skills that students will learn in their classes in high school and then be able to take into college or technical training and then further into the workforce. You know, the nice thing about durable skills is they're useful in any career, really. So it doesn't matter what the student is getting into, the durable skills will work for them throughout their whole life.
Perfect. So these are things that they are learning that are not part of like the academic aspect of it, but they can still apply those to their career just in negotiating with other people.
Yeah. And it might be important to note that in CTE courses, we teach these intentionally and we purposefully build them in. Whereas in some of the academic coursework, like an English language arts class or a math class, like the students might utilize them, but the teachers aren't necessarily intentionally building them into like the curriculum.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, and I think it's interesting because like when I was younger, I think we referred to these as soft skills. Are they the same thing or are they different somehow?
Yeah. Durable skills have many different names. We call them soft skills. We call them 21st century skills. We call them transferable skills. We call them all kinds of different skills. But basically, we're referring to the same set of skills that you really use in every situation.
Okay. So at the risk of asking what might be an obvious question, and this is for you, Claire, why are these so critical from a community or workplace perspective? Like, why would employers be looking for these?
Yeah, employers are looking for these skills because they are things that you can't really teach on a job. You can teach the technical knowledge, but for example, I'm an engineer and it's important to both be technical and knowledgeable, but you also need to be able to communicate your findings. The biggest thing I learned in school was how to take technical knowledge and put it into a presentation and then present it. And that's something that in a workplace, they're not teaching you how to really present. They're teaching you the technical knowledge and the skills that you need to do well in the job. So that's a big part of my job today and something that can be practiced in the classroom.
Okay, thank you for that. Anyone else want to weigh in on that? Kevin?
In my engineering class, the student's been working for a couple weeks on this final project, and Kyle here is in that class. He knows all about it. But we are culminating by having students present in a group of four or five students, the whole thing that they came up with. It's like they had to design a putt-putt course, a mini golf course. So this is exactly what Claire's talking about. You have to be able to not just like do the work, learn how to do CAD or learn how to do the math or the English or whatever, but I think presenting is like the next level.
Lisa, it looks like you want to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, it's really nice to be able to, in a project like what Kevin was talking about, kind of coach the students on these skills as well and kind of help them really build them up over time.
And nice to have a concrete example too in your classroom where they have to actually present it and that presents a new challenge for them. It's like they may be brilliant with their problem solving, but if they can't actually explain it to people.
Exactly. And that's a skill worth practicing. You know, we could have wrapped up the year and they could have just given me a bunch of multi-view CAD drawings, blueprint drawings, but to go to that next level and present their work the way a professional would, I think it's valuable.
Kyle, you're actually in that class. Do you want to comment on what that was like or what it's been like to have to use those durable skills in a class setting?
I think it's really interesting because I'm also in Boy Scouts and I've learned a lot from that before I've taken this class. And I think it's really cool to be able to use a bunch of the skills from Scouts that I've already learned and be able to put it in the classroom.
Awesome. So nice to have your perspective on that as a student. Lisa, what is CTE all about and how do these courses help students develop those durable skills? I think we've got a little bit of an example here, but if you can talk about it more generally, that would be awesome.
A CTE course, a career and technical education, is to help students explore different career fields. And so we have in the Issaquah School District many, many, many offerings from what Kevin was mentioning about engineering design all the way into like digital media arts, into like hands-on woodshop and metal fabrication. We have material science where students earn science credits while they are also exploring the properties of materials, and other areas including like human services. So we have like child development. We have teaching academy. Students have the opportunity to test their technical skills. And so when I'm saying technical skills, that's like a skill specific to the course. So like in engineering, using a 3D modeling program like
Fusion 360 is
the one they're using now.
Yeah.
Something like that would be considered a technical skill. And so we are offering like a Fusion 360 certification to test kids and their knowledge on those. But, you know, when we're thinking about durable skills, soft skills, 21st century skills, like these are such important skills in the workplace that we want to make sure we're intentionally pulling those into the classroom and providing students with a workplace-like environment. So they get a project like creating a mini golf course, and then they're set up in groups and they have to work together with their teamwork and their communication skills and their presentation skills to really understand those durable skills and like practice them in the classroom. Other places, you know, public speaking and leadership, like all of these skills really play into the CTE course and the way that we try and reflect the workplace to the best of our ability while still in middle and high school.
Okay, perfect. Kyle?
Yeah, I'd also like to add into that. I think it's especially important to get these skills in high school or even earlier on, because these are things that can take a lot of time to develop too.
It sounds like there are a lot of different course options that are available. And I know we talked about maybe one example from your classroom, Kevin, and Kyle, you were in there as well. But can you give us an idea of just like kind of day to day what it might look like in a CTE class as far as where you're using the durable skills, not just with one project, but maybe like across the whole class?
Overall, it kind of, you know, I've taken a ton of CTE classes. And it kind of varies from class to class. The quote durable skills that I would use, like in woodshop, would be different than like engineering. Engineering class is very heavy on teamwork and a little bit of leadership, whereas like woodshop would be like having some patience or, you know, planning ahead.
Okay. Kevin, you want to add anything to what Kyle's just saying?
Yeah, I've got some experience as a structural engineer before I became a teacher. So I kind of know where these students are going if they are bound to become engineers someday. So I have a good idea of what an engineering office looks like, and I know what needs to happen in the classroom. So I kind of cater the experience based on the students and where I think they might be going. So I like to start, for instance, back to that engineering course we're talking about that Kyle is in with me. I like to start the year by packing in a lot of know-how, like teaching students the skills of an engineer, the tools of an engineer. And, you know, we hit a lot of that pretty hard. And then more towards the second half of the year becomes like it's time to do the projects. And so that's, as Kyle was mentioning, there's chance for teamwork and some leadership. And I will say, okay, here's your next project. And y'all use these skills you've been learning to put it all together and come up with a final product and present that product.
And I'm curious, Kyle, how does that bleed over into some of your other classes? Because I imagine like you've learned some of these durable skills, or at least they're emphasized more in the CTE courses. How does that bleed over into your experience with quote unquote core classes like math, English, and so on?
overall, especially in LA and like science, and you have to give presentations or you have to make a poster, there's some group project, and I think that bleeds over there a lot.
Okay. So is there something unique about the CTE framework that creates a better environment for picking up those skills?
I think what's different in a CTE type classroom, we have a focus, like we're trying to teach students a set of usable skills that they can use in the workplace someday, whether it's learning how to be a woodworker, learning how to do computer-aided design. So it caters itself in such a way, like, I guess maybe more opportunity to practice those durable skills. We can like easily weave it into the course and it becomes just naturally part of the fabric of the course.
So it amounts to theory in like a math or language arts class I have to put into practice in a CTE class. And now that forces me to actually rely on those durable skills to get things done in that classroom. Is that fair to say?
That is a good way to put it, Robert. Yeah.
Okay. Kyle?
I think another thing too is just the overall attitude towards it. My math class is a lot less enthusiastic and does not want to be there as much as like my engineering class. And part of it's engineering's an elective. And so when you sign up for it, it's like, hey, I want to do this. But I think too, with like the core classes, it's more of you go in, you do your work, you get out. There's less focus on really trying to grab the skills.
Lisa?
I guess to kind of build on what Kyle was saying, having the ability that I do to go between CTE courses and like core academic courses, I would say these durable skills that students are practicing both in academic and in CTE classes are something that's really relevant. But maybe the hook of having the interest-based CTE content makes a difference in the way the students are practicing the skills rather than being like, oh, it's just homework. It's another thing that I have to do for my science class. We have to write a lab report. You know, it's more like, oh, well, you know, actually we got to design and build this table together in the woodshop class. And like, that was super exciting. And like, I'm really able to like communicate and collaborate with my group mates.
That's interesting. You know, it actually brings to mind when I was in high school, I remember this experience in math class where we were learning about how to calculate the area of some complex shape. And someone raised their hand and asked, well, when am I ever going to use this in real life? And the teacher was so taken aback. But then they responded by saying, well, let's say you were trying to figure out how much cement you needed to pour a sidewalk in front of your house. And we went through that whole exercise. And then suddenly it was like, hey, wait a minute, this is actually useful information. And it just sounds like CTE helps students connect what they're learning in school with what they may do in real life. And so they actually take to heart more of that teaching than they might if it's just theory all the time, just turning in 12 homework assignments in that month.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
So jumping back to CTE, our district offers worksite learning, dual credit options, and opportunities to earn industry-recognized credentials. How do these more specialized CTE experiences take durable skill development up to the next level?
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about the industry-recognized credentials, and that may not necessarily come through in my voice, but actually this is something we've really ratcheted up this year, is the number of certifications, industry-recognized credentials that we're offering in the district. And the ability, you know, overwhelmingly, our students in this district are able to go sit down for one of these certifications, like the Adobe Photoshop certification, and get through it and pass it the first time, because they come with the durable skills in hand of, like, how to focus, how to study, like, and studying is great for academics life, but it's also great for like when you have a project at work and you have to do some of that at home. You have to have those study skills and the focus and the perseverance and the skills that our students are learning in the classes. Like, they really get to apply it to that test taking experience that might just stress some other people out who would take a voluntary test. Like, they don't have to take the certification test. It's not required, but we have a lot of students that do take advantage of those opportunities.
Now, Claire, you work for Blue Origin. You're out in the field, as it were. How do those certifications affect how you're looking at potential candidates?
I think it is something that is super positive on an application and something that the students then also take in with them to college, because that is something where their next step could be to then pursue a career. And so with them trying to get internships to show that they already have these skills, then the employer for the interns knows that they don't have to focus on time teaching the skill, and they can give projects to the student to be successful.
Kevin?
it's also a huge confidence builder for these kids, you know, because they're like in high school, they've got their middle school classes under their belt, elementary school classes under their belt, but suddenly they are taking like professional level tests and certifications. Then, and they say to themselves, I'm on my way. Like, this is going to happen. They know they've got it in them.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about the student perspective on that. So that's really cool that they have the opportunity to develop that confidence, but they're also getting a certificate that maybe it's not exactly the certificate they're looking for, but perhaps it still shows that like, okay, this is someone who's willing to work harder than maybe some of the other applicants and helps them stand out.
I do have a question for Kyle. I'm wondering if you've taken any of the certification tests this year at all?
I did do OSHA 10, yeah.
Okay. Could you give us maybe some insight on like some skills you might have gotten through that process?
OSHA 10 is all about like work safety and stuff. And I think it's really good to know, hey, whatever career I go into, that I have basic like safety rights and stuff. And if something's wrong, then I know about it. It's not, you know, the company can't like hide anything from me.
Claire?
Yeah, one thing I also want to talk about industry with durable skills is at work, I am writing performance reviews. And most of the things that you comment on in your performance review is the durable skills. It isn't this person didn't know this equation in this environment or didn't know how to calculate or plot this on a graph. It is the durable skills that you're saying, hey, they did a great job in these past 6 months, or they need to work on these XYZ durable skills. And so that's really an industry. The performance review is looking at durable skills.
Yeah. Is this someone I can work with? Are they communicating properly? That makes a huge difference. Kevin.
And that hasn't changed. You know, I was an engineer a long, long time ago, but I remember the people I worked with, everyone was pretty good at doing the equations and cranking out the work, getting the job done. But the people that moved up in the companies I worked for were the people who had those durable skills, you know, people who could talk to others, who were organized, who could put together a decent presentation, who could manage the stress of the office. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It really is a durable skill. It's something that's going to last, maybe beyond some of the technical skills that you're learning in school even. So when we're looking at students that are going out into the world, we certainly want to make sure that whatever our CTE courses are, they're relevant for the workforce today. Lisa, can you talk about what the pathway advisory committees are, what they do and how those are relevant to what we're doing in our schools?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is more than one advisory committee. We have one committee for each pathway that we offer in the district. So we have a visual media arts pathway committee, an engineering pathway committee, a business pathway committee, a computer science pathway committee. So we have like 7 or 8, I think. And what those people do is it's made up of teachers, it's made up of industry professionals, so a lot of different people who represent different aspects of all the industries who try and pull in as much different type of experience as possible to really help our teachers get a good grasp on what's going on to make sure that our students are, again, learning the relevant skills that will help them bridge into the workforce.
Okay. Claire?
I'm on the engineering advisory board, and we're able to come alongside the educators and provide that insight to the current industry environment. So this could include new skills that I'm having to apply to my job or technology that we're having to use that employers are also asking employees to adopt or to know or looking for applicants when they come in that they have these skills. And then also trying to help educators with what should they be implementing in the classroom that is also applicable to the real world. So at work, I sit on interview panels, and so I'm informed about what employers are directly hiring for, and that can help the educators guide their classroom. And then especially in engineering, technology is always changing. Therefore, we're bridging the gap between the school and career.
Okay. So how does all that committee discussion and guidance that's taking place like actually affect what's happening in the district? Like, what's that kind of handoff look like? Lisa, you want to touch on that? But maybe Kevin has something to say about that as well.
Yeah. So Kevin might have a little more recent insight. Typically, what would happen is I just kind of oversee the pathway committee. So we have a whole district level. We have one big one that oversees all of our curriculum, and they give us kind of insights on courses we might not be offering now that maybe we should be offering because they relate to up-and-coming technologies such as AI and machine learning. That's been a huge one over the last year or two. They kind of give us guidance on types of skills that students should be learning in class. And I will say, to be completely honest, the biggest thing we hear from our general advisory committee, which is the one top district level one, is durable skills are the most valuable thing that we can teach students as they come through high school.
Okay, so good overview on how that committee works. But Kevin, I heard in there that you are now our resident expert on what these look like firsthand. So can you talk to us about what you observe there on that committee that you're on?
Yeah. So our committees meet three times a year, in the fall, midwinter, and towards the end of the year. And it is an excellent opportunity for all of us teachers to get together with these industry professionals, because we can ask some of these questions like, you know, right now I'm teaching my students using, well, we'll go back to the example of CAD. We use the Fusion software. Is that really relevant? Are they using that out in industry? Because we don't necessarily know. We haven't been in industry for a long time. Some of us have not been in this particular focused area of industry. And so the professionals can say, yeah, for sure, that works, or that's very similar to, you know, what we currently use in our office. Here's an example that came up just in one of our last meetings that I thought is pretty relevant and thought-provoking. AI is on everyone's mind. And as teachers, we wonder, what are the boundaries in education? How much should we be using AI? Of course, we don't want our students to use AI to write their English papers. We want them to be thinking for themselves. In the world of engineering, you think, well, you know, AI is an excellent tool. And it might have even been you, Claire, that said you had a friend or knew somebody. If I'm making this up, you can tell me, but it's an expectation to use AI when it comes to computer science and programming in some of these companies.
And for the listeners, Claire is nodding emphatically right now.
Right. And if you're from what I understand, if you're not using AI, you are not looked kindly upon. Like, you better be using AI as part of your job, because that's going to help you work more efficiently. And your job maybe as the computer scientist is to just check the work that the AI does. And I say that to my students, I remind my colleagues, and it's an eye-opener. Like, AI is here to stay, and we need to embrace it.
Yeah, Claire, you're nodding a lot. I want to know what you have to say about that.
Yeah, that is something that at work we have all these AI tools. Of course, they're not the public ones because of different information in company, and if you're dealing with different technology, it has to be not just out there with everyone, but we're using AI, and it's an expectation because employers at the end of the day are making a product or having a service, and they want that product or service to be made or provided the most efficient way possible. And so there is an expectation that you're using AI in your day-to-day job.
That's interesting. I know I use it in my job, but it's finding that line, right? Where it's like, we don't want students using it as a shortcut to their learning, but we also realize that sometimes that is a tool that can help you do things faster, just like your dishwasher is a better choice than doing it by hand. And we just accept that. Kyle, you are representing our whole student body right now. What does that look like for you in the classroom? How does AI fit into what you're doing? Or how does that community involvement, as far as like guidance on what skills are most useful to be learning in your classes, affect what you see happening in the classroom?
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, none at all. Mm-hmm.
You're representing everybody, Kyle. Right.
You said that and I was like, oh. Kind of to what Mr. Hoden was saying earlier is that AI is an incredible tool. And I know there's been many times where we're on a project, we're halfway through and we're like, man, this will be so much faster if we just do this. But then, you know, every other class, it's like, it's kind of against the rules, quote unquote, you know, to use AI. But we'll go up to Mr. Ho and be like, hey, so is this cool if we just like plug stuff into the computer and stuff? And he's like, yeah, go for it. Cause it is just that much faster and more efficient.
And you still have to double check everything when it's done, right?
Oh, 100%. Yes, you do. There's been multiple times where I'll plug stuff in and it does all the calculations. And I look back at it and I go, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And then sometimes we'll plug it in a couple times in different ways to try to get an accurate reading.
Yeah. Kevin?
Well, I was going to say there's learning in that, you know, yeah, like just seeing what AI is doing or not doing and then making like some critical thinking happen and making it better.
And I think with that point, though, too, is having good moral ground, too, of what is acceptable and what to use AI for. You know, again, back to the LA paper, you shouldn't be using AI for that. The teachers are assuming that you're not going to use AI for that, and there has to be a moral ground.
this is an interesting ethical dilemma, and actually getting into AI is a direction I didn't expect us to go with this. But I would merely point out that I feel like using AI in the workplace is, in fact, a durable skill as we move forward. Like, it feels new and it feels technical, but what I'm hearing is that this is going to be something that's going to be going on. And maybe we just need to help students understand how to ethically use AI as, like, a brainstorming partner instead of, like, hey, AI, write my paper for me.
Right. Yeah, and this is totally a topic we could go into on some future episode. So I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't bring up a few misconceptions about CTE, because there are definitely some out there. We sometimes hear that CTE is mainly for students who are looking for an easy elective. What are your thoughts on that?
I will start by saying that career and technical education is for more than just students who want an easy class, or it's more than just for students who want to go to work in the trades. Like, students can go into careers like being a lawyer, being a teacher, being an engineer, as we've had a lot of conversation about today, becoming a welder, becoming a chef. The CTE courses, especially those that we offer here in the Issaquah School District, really help students learn both the technical skills as well as to explore a wide variety of career fields that they might consider in the future. But as they're exploring, if a course doesn't align perfectly, the nice thing is they can use those durable skills in any workplace or any course in high school or college or technical training.
Okay. Kyle?
First of all, it kind of depends from elective to elective of what's considered, quote, you know, a hard course. Of course, it's different for everybody. But like engineering class, I have to work at that sometimes. And there's some nights for sure that I'm like staying up a little bit trying to work stuff out. I would not call every single CTE course easy. But I do say with that, though, is that I think they're a lot more fun. And I think if there's a passion for it, then it's a really good opportunity to be able to go do that and to be able to do it with other people. And that's part of the reason I like the engineering class so much, and why I like all of these CTE classes, is there are a lot of other people that also want to be there and are doing the same thing that I'm doing.
It's not often you get to be in a class where you're building something together or working out a concrete, real problem as a team. Kevin?
In any one of our district CTE courses, the level of depth and breadth a teacher could go into, it's wild. In my engineering course, I often tell my students, we could teach this class, or I could teach this class deep into the summer and into the fall. We need 3 semesters for the class, not 2. And I see it as an opportunity to really let my students sample what it would be like to be in an engineering classroom in college, even. You know, it's not just about preparing them for the future workplace, but like giving them a pretty good sample of what academics look like beyond high school. And I got to say, I push them pretty hard. Not to push you to the level of stress, but I want you to get a feel for what it can be like down the road.
Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, here's another one. CTE leads to limited career options or only lower paying jobs. Who wants to tackle that one?
I'll take it. I think one thing that CTE teaches students, and then also when you go into college, is in high school, I knew I wanted to be an engineer and actually an aerospace engineer. But I didn't know that there were mechanical engineers that could also do the same job and electrical engineers that could also work on airplanes or work on rockets. When I went to college, I learned about all the different things that a aerospace engineer could work on. Is it turbo machinery? Is it valves? Is it a thrust chamber assembly on a rocket engine? And so I think CTE just opens the world to students about what are the different possibilities out there. And then for the advisory board, we also help review the projection for demand of careers in the future, and then review the compensation, because we want to make sure that the students are being equipped for jobs that could give them a great living and a great life. And so that is something that we also review to make sure that the classes are actually informing that.
Okay, so there's actually some safeguards there to make sure that students aren't going down a path where it's like, oh, surprise, you're not going to make a living wage on this.
Yeah, we don't want students who go through our programs to have to work 2 to 3 jobs to have to, you know, to make the ends meet. And it can be pretty expensive cost of living in this area. So we want students to be able to work 1 job. And I would add on that people think of CTE as like vocational education, what it used to be with like carpentry and machining and those things. Those are high demand areas now. And because they're high demand, they are also living wage bearing. And so students can go into those fields and also make a good living wage. But in addition to that, we do have other CTE courses that prepare students for jobs like nursing and like becoming a doctor. We have anatomy, physiology. Like, there are a lot of very rigorous courses that could prepare students for other fields as well.
Okay, thank you for that. I think that concludes just all the misconceptions we're going to cover. I want to go around the table and get some takeaways from each of you. How do durable skills within our CTE programs really set students up for long-term career success?
I think that the CTE programs teach the durable skills that then employers are looking for, and that they're actually teaching students how to be problem solvers, whether that's problem solving to try to find a medical diagnosis for a patient that you have, or problem solving, trying to figure out how to generate more thrust out of your engine. They're creating and developing these problem solvers with a great skill set of durable skills taking along with them.
I think durable skills really prepare students for the workplace because it gives them the experience of working with others and gaining those problem-solving skills. Computational thinking is something people don't think about, as like breaking a problem down into its parts and then working on one part at a time. And that's a great durable skill that our students learn in so many of our courses, even though it's maybe not labeled that way.
Kevin?
I think our students, by the time they graduate with some great skills to like go to like the next step to learn more, they've kind of built their toolbox of understanding of how the world works. But I think the durable skills rounds all of that out, and it helps them become an adult. You know, they take what they've learned in math class or history class or their English language arts class, and it's the durable skills that help them sort of like take that knowledge and actually utilize it and be able to communicate with others and go to that next level as an adult, or maybe as maybe a four-year university student or their first job, whatever the case may be.
Okay. And Kyle, last but not least, you get the final word here.
I think everyone summed it up very well, but overall, I think those durable skills acts as a very good foundation for you to be able to learn and build other skills on top of. All of the other skills, I think, are a lot less important if you don't have this good foundation.
Got it. So this comes first, and then you build on top of that
Yeah.
with those others. Okay, well, this has been awesome. But before we go, we have to have a quiz. All right, panel. Now that we've had this very serious conversation, it's time for a super serious and not at all silly quiz we're calling Strategically Aligned.
I guess you weren't kidding when you said that we were going to be quizzed at the end.
Oh, it's real.
No, I thought that was a joke.
The rules are really simple. I'm going to read a piece of news from our district's website. Your job as our unwilling participants is to be the first to name the priority area or areas from our three-year strategic plan that aligns with each quote. The winner gets this prestigious and tastefully tiny gold star sticker. Are you ready to realign your priorities?
Let's do
it. Bring it on.
Okay, number one, in the Career Kickstart Summer Program, high schoolers get to visit leading companies, hear from industry professionals, and do a three-day job shadow to explore potential career options. Oh, Claire got there first.
Academic opportunities?
That is correct.
You beat me to it, Claire.
Number two, the district created the online enrollment process allowing families to securely submit all necessary documents and forms from home. Lisa.
Organizational effectiveness.
That's right. Number three, the 2024 Bond Advisory Committee was created to gather ideas and input from the community on how best to approach a bond ballot measure based on building conditions, enrollment projections, and tax implications. Kyle.
Organizational effectiveness.
I would go with that one. Anyone have a different?
I was thinking authentic engagement.
Yeah, I wrote down authentic engagement, but I think both of those are actually good yeah. answers. They definitely overlap.
I like how Kyle is just like very slowly. You can always hear it like a rattle.
Through its school-based mental health services, the district placed licensed mental health counselors in every school to ensure students feel safe, healthy, and ready to learn. Kevin.
Oh, student well-being.
That's right.
Good job.
Okay, final question. And this is for the gold star. Oh. In addition to recruiting a more diverse staff, the district has introduced initiatives like mentor options, where newly hired staff can select a mentor of color or a job-alike mentor to receive guidance from someone with similar experiences.
Diverse talent.
It is diverse talent.
Nice job.
Score.
That's actually a tie then between Kyle and Lisa, and I didn't bring a tiebreaker. I didn't realize that was going to happen.
It's because we both crushed it today, but I am happy to forego my gold star and let Kyle have that.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. I really appreciate you taking the time today to talk about this important subject.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. That was super fun.
Hey, thanks for joining our huddle today. If you enjoyed the discussion, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. We really want to talk about things you find interesting. So if you have an idea, head over to isd411.org/podcast and share it with us. Thanks for listening.